The content here is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. Please consult a healthcare professional with any medical questions and concerns.
If you are experiencing an emergency or need immediate help, call 911. In no way does listening, reading, emailing, or interacting on social media with our content establish a therapeutic relationship.
I just get so angry. It's hard to sit still.
I don't want to be this way.
My brain just feels all scrambled.
Well, happy December, Nikki. This is episode 62, Look Who's Talking, Music for the Mind. I'm Chad Douglas, Nikki Shields on the other side of things here. And we do these Look Who Talking ones because our whole goal in starting this was to end the stigma of mental health. And we're finding the more episodes we do, the more people are actually contacting us saying, hey, we're doing this cool thing, check us out. And so we love spotlighting these folks and telling you how they're breaking the stigma. So I will let you introduce our guest for this episode.
Yes, we are excited to talk with Tom Fugelberg and Brian Craning. These gentlemen are working together on a special project that involves music and mental health. And so welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to meet with you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you came together, what you're working on, what are you doing?
Well, thank you for having us. I'm going to let Tom start us off because it was his call that got
his fault, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. We are called Seeking Permission, and we are kind of a songwriting startup, a music for kids' mental health based in Minneapolis. And the way I like to describe us is kind of a 2 years ago, a dad's passion project that ran wonderfully amok. During COVID, we were, I was personally trying to figure out different ways to kind of reconcile the state of the world. How to, raise three young kids, try to keep a lot of hope and optimism coming into the house in a world that was kind of shy on those types of things in a lot of different ways. So I turned to songwriting and it really was what started as a few songs for my kids accidentally attracted some pretty big hitters musically. And now we're trying to give this little passion project a higher purpose and see if we can't use the power of music to put a little bigger spotlight, I guess, on the kids' mental health crisis.
Tom, you said you turned to songwriting. Were you already doing some songwriting and just did this, or do you like, you know what, I bet I can write a song?
Years ago, I always say it was a different Tom in a different time in a galaxy far, far away. I used to be very involved in music and was more of a front in a hip hop band, believe it or not. And we did a lot of touring at that time, but then I became a dad and the road was the last thing I wanted. And so I became very involved at home and have three incredible young kids, two of whom have some wonderful wirings that require some learning adaptations. In that process, just really all in on the dad thing.
Yeah. I like being all in on the dad thing too. And that's kind of how this podcast was born, was because of my son with his anxiety and such. So you wrote some songs and we're going to give you a little bit of a sample here. Thank you for letting us do this. First, we're going to hear a little bit of We Can Try, followed by Love's Gonna Break the Fall.
Shut down. We've lost our way. No, there ain't no heroes for the castaways. It's hard to see through the pouring hate, but the love's still in there. No, it ain't too late. So let's try and try. It ain't perfect, but we can't give in. Let's rise. I believe we can. 'Cause if we try, 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 we will fly again.
Looking out for
All right, very nice. Now I see what you guys are doing, and you guys can find more songs there at the seeking-permission.com. So how do you go about writing songs about mental health?
This project is, I would say, about as personal as it gets. I was not writing songs specifically about, I would say, mental health. I was probably doing it for my mental health. I think that's the power of music. You have to understand, when I started, it was COVID. We had the vitriol of the election in our city. We had our city on fire after the murder of George Floyd. And so you have three young kids. You're trying to reconcile that. And you're trying to wait to almost timestamp that. You're trying to wait to express what dad was going through at that time. And in doing so, trying to write songs, you know, we call them songs in the key of hope. Whether I was writing a song about my own upbringing and trying to pass that along to my young son, trying to remind him to take some of the innocence with him, whether I was just trying to look at the TV with our city on fire and saying, oh my goodness, we can do better than this. It was really about capturing those moments. And, you know, initially the idea was, yes, catharsis for myself, but it was also just, well, maybe this is an opportunity to leave a legacy behind for my kids so they could understand what the world, what we were going through, and that, you know, dad loved them a whole lot and was trying to leave something hopeful behind, not just at that time, but in their lives.
So then how does it go from I'm just putting pen to paper to help my own mental health and to try to explain what's happening in the world to my kids to now you guys have this project?
Well, I blame Brian fully for that. So I'm gonna hand it to him.
Well, I'm not sure what part you blame me for, but I will say this. You know, Tom called. We did. We quickly decided we needed to develop these songs. And if you know anything about me, when I get excited, I froth at the mouth and at the soul, and it won't stop until it's excellence to the nines. And so we got a bunch of people involved. We built a village. We went to Nashville. We recorded with some really credible people. And the goal was, Tom and I, we co-wrote these songs, but we weren't going to perform them. We were going to get the best people possible. So now we got this little collection of songs. And we're two dads with these really cool collection of songs. And we start getting press. Unbeknownst to us, I mean, we really started getting press. And we're looking at each other as two dads, just trying to express ourselves through music. Starting to get national inquiries, like people that I think, you know, you would know, like, you know, the NBC Nightly News, for instance. And I said to Tom, I go, well, we're just two dads writing a few songs. If we have this kind of traction, perhaps we should assign ourselves a bigger, broader goal. And one of the things in my world, I have three beautiful children. My wife is in pediatrics, and I'm sure you guys know that, especially during COVID, pediatricians were being asked suddenly to become, you know, psychologists and everything else. And my wife was trained to help people with strep throat and ear infections, not a 14-year-old child that's suicidal. And sadly, that's just, as you guys well know, that is a epidemic and a reality in our world right now. So Tom and I, both being, you know, personally affected by that in different ways, said, this is just a natural place to evolve to. And we started talking about just, in fact, how we could make our platform larger and with the hope of bringing more people in to make a difference. And that started this, I don't know, a year ago, this journey?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting opportunity as we see it. Brian and I, by day, run ad agencies. He has an ad agency.
Don't hate us for that.
It's called Agency.
we're madmen.
But, you know, as you start, you know, to think about kind of the stone soup of it all, you know, and in one hand, you have certainly a parental compassion. You certainly have very personal experiences, whether it's, you know, wives who are on the front line, you know, I can tell you that I have a long history of depression, anxiety. I've struggled with panic disorder myself. And then you have the sensibilities of being a couple of creative directors that have been building movements through marketing for 30 plus years for big brands. That is an interesting mix. When you start to think about, well, could you create a catalyst? Yeah, think of it as a Farm Aid level movement for kids' mental health that could use the talent and the platforms of the artists to certainly cast a greater spotlight on the epidemic, but then for top tier partner organizations that are committed to using music as a form of therapy, could you then create events that would be really inspirational for all, but would be direct giving moments so that those partner organizations could receive 100% of the proceeds to put towards music therapy? And it's one of those things, again, we're marketing cats, so we start with the big why. We try to figure it out from there. So we have now taken mighty steps here. Our goal year one has been a meaningful Minnesota pilot, and we're just shy of probably announcing it, but we have all the pieces in place, I think, to do something here in our backyard that has an opportunity to have quite a ripple effect across the country.
That's yeah, awesome. And, you know, to build on that, I think we both recognize that music is unique, isn't it? It's a place where people that can't maybe express themselves any other way can find solace and find a place to maybe relate. And our goal would be, with what Tom just described, is to bring more important artists and people that are doing the same thing as we want to do together, and to not be denied. One of the things we talked a lot about were the underserved areas of our country, you know, whether it be on a native reservation or it be in a farm field in Iowa somewhere. And is there a child feeling left alone and nowhere to go? Is there, you know, obviously inner cities. So our goal really is genuine. Our goal is not to be in the spotlight, is to be the catalyst, to use Tom's word, to really create a why not. And why surprisingly, haven't we seen more of this? We've talked about it an awfully lot, don't we? But wouldn't it be something if we could truly create a, like Tom said, what is the Farm Aid for children's mental health? And then how does that springboard into a lot more activity? It's a beautiful hill to try to climb together and with others. And you know what? If nothing happens, at least we have tried. We think a lot will happen, though, because Tom and I have once upon a time, 20 years ago, actually worked in the same ad agency together. Yeah. And we enjoy challenges like this. Especially when they're genuine, they come from a real place.
I love that you have chosen music as a platform, because with the kids that I work with, and especially the teenagers, music is sometimes just kind of the weight of their heart. It's the weight of their mind. It's a way to communicate. And even today, you know, with my teenager, there's a lot of music she likes that I can't understand and I can't make sense of. But when I, you know, when I listen to it, yeah, I know I age myself when I say these things, but when I listen to those songs that are important to her, it tells me a little bit about her. And then when I share music with her, it can communicate with her in a way that just talking doesn't really get to it. So I love that you've chosen music, that you're using that gift to move forward, because I think so many can relate.
Ian, I appreciate you saying that. It's literally our one universal language, right? It is something that kids, even if they're not using it to express themselves at first, it's certainly one of the first places they retreat to and retreat with. And it has the amazing power to give you power over your emotions, right? If you're feeling something really negative, it can help you understand that and stay in that moment, but it can also give you something to give you the antidote against that. And I think there's all sorts of scientific proof that a lot of people way smarter than us, we are not the therapists. But boy, when you talk to them, there's a reason why it's emerging. It's such a powerful form of therapy, because I think it is that thing that allows you to feel something even when you're not feeling, so that's part of the reason. Sometimes you're not feeling anything at all, but music can break down that wall and allow you to get inside. And I always say that our idea is very simple at the broadest thing. We're, you know, the more we sing as the catalyst, the more they talk. and music is an amazing means of getting people to talk about their innermost, you know, what's going on. And
we recognize there are quite a few artists that will talk about this, and hopefully some of those artists will be part of our movement. We recognize that. And I think what's really important too is the awareness part of this with music. It's more, there's kind of the therapeutic side. There's the communication side of what it means inside your heart. But then there's just the reality of multi-genre artists that could help us bring more widespread awareness and welcome the conversation, I guess, and in a way that's a little more organized, a little more more of a movement, like Tom said.
We've always said we're not a band; we are a band of believers.
Right.
and there's a lot of people I think that are sadly and deeply touched by this personally and otherwise, and we're just trying to bring those pieces together.
So we're going to try to be the best we can, an example, by creating something, and hopefully that will be the beginning, and we'll ignite something that can grow as time goes on. I love your stone soup analogy, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys know that, but that's great. I mean, I love that. You're the only other guy that I use that analogy from time to time.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I'm always stone souping at my house, man.
If you build it, if you build it, they will come.
You got it.
What kind of conversations have you had with folks in the music industry?
Oh my goodness, it is
lots.
It's remarkable. Well, and I always have to start by giving Brian some serious props. He will never talk about himself. He happens to be a multi top 40 chart writing
songwriter performer. That run amok.
Yeah, so you can look them up with Rocket Club. They're an incredible band. But you know, I think one of the things I know I've been blessed in my past life is to just hang on people who are still out there and they're touring and they're playing with some pretty big acts. And it's, you know, you'll occasionally get these amazing, you know, iPhone shouts out type of things. And I'm not a big name dropper myself part of this. I really want this to be a super safe place for artists. So I'm not going to be a big name dropper. You can see enough of our social feed to see who's talking. But the bigger point of that is I think, you know, there is such a connective tissue with music, its power and mental health, that producers that, who are attached to very big names and artists themselves are certainly reaching out. And that also is just another quiet form of reassurance that if we can just show the power of this once with the Minnesota pilot, we can show it twice. We can do it twice. We can do it four times, 4 to 8. I'm not very good with math. I keep I struggle with it mightily.
Same.
But it, you know, we have a hunch that that there's a tidal wave just waiting to happen. And to Brian's point, all we're trying to do is spark the movement.
Yeah,
where it goes from there.
We, you know, some of the conversations go beyond the artists themselves. Music industry companies as well wanting to help, wanting to use their leverage. And so forgive me if I sound for a moment like a brand guy, but a lot of this is going to be about involvement from corporate sponsors. Our goal would be, wouldn't it be a wonderful world to have people come together from their particular areas of discipline, artists to help us with awareness, corporate sponsors to help us put on five of the most amazing, we are the worlds around the, you know, the country. And at the end of the day, everybody's talking, there's more conversations. And most importantly, there's a lot more foundational money being procured. And I think that's probably part of the thing you guys know very well, is we know that insurance in this lovely world of ours doesn't always cover a lot of this. And there's a great need for additional funding. And so the outcome there would be, wouldn't it be great, besides the awareness, to actually have a lot of traction from giving?
And Ryan and I are sometimes, I mean, we're so close on the brand side, on that corporate side, to pick up on that. we've been on the XF side. We've made Super Bowl spots. Mm-hmm. We know what goes. But imagine a halftime in the Key of Hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
What could you do in 20 minutes for kids' mental health there? Yeah.
So at this point, what can our listeners do, or what can people do to kind of just get over that hunch and start making this happen?
Well, I mean, the first thing right now is I would say just reach out to us. Join the mailing list. That's as simple as that is. We have very humble asks right now. Seeking-permission.com. That's seeking-permission.com. There you'll see a drop-down menu. If you're just a music fan, just give us a shout out. If you are a producer that's connected to an artist that has a heart for what we're talking about and has an ability to maybe help us catch a little wind behind ourselves, please reach out to us. If you're on the corporate sponsor side, certainly we're going to need that. You know, we're going to need people in positions of influence to help us fan the flames. You know, the biggest thing I would say is just, if nothing else, just watch. Look what's coming out of Minnesota. Look at what we're going to be putting together. Because, you know, I think our job right now is to put some proof in the pudding. and that's certainly where we're focusing our efforts.
Seeking-permission.com. That's your website. Is there any other, social media? Can they find you on all the other socials?
As two dads that are in marketing, there is a sometimes conflicted relationship with social media. Because in our day lives, right? You know, brands are always, they got their calendars and they're building their followings. We post only when we have something to say. We only have, and we're just not going to flood the world like that on this one. So yes, you can find us on Instagram. I call myself Instagrandpa. So I am really going to be so slow on the reply because there's too many buttons. I'm young. I'm still hip. I'm still happening. But no, it's just, and if you can find us on Facebook, but those are the two places you can find us in our website. And, our goal is to not add to the noise of the world, but to just simply post when we have a why.
From that, then what's next? And as we're getting close to the end of the year, what's next for you guys in 2024?
A meeting on Friday.
Oh, it's a big one. And we will just say this much because we can't, but our goal is a partnership with a major organization that is in this space that might have the true bandwidth to really bring this to life on multi tiers. And if that happens, things will start to change.
Yeah.
For us, anyway, and hopefully for a lot of others. So what 2024 is going to be a year of action, a year of traction, and a year of Tom trying to figure out Instagram.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in this journey. We love that you're doing the good work of letting people know about mental health and finding a creative way to bring this to people's attention and to get people talking about it. We so appreciate that you were willing to meet with us and do an episode with us. And we'll keep our eye out and we'll watch and see what great things happen.
Thank you guys.
And we love you guys because you're doing the same thing from your vantage point. And God bless you for all that you're doing. And what episode is this?
This is number 62.
62. Here's too many more. And yet here's to hopefully someday not having to do any of these, right?
Right. And if you have Lester Holt's email, just go ahead and, you can send him and say, hey, there's this podcast.
Well, I said NBC.
No, because I'm a former news guy. When you say NBC Nightly News, I know that's Lester Holt. Tom and Brian, thank you guys so much. Again, echoing what Nikki said, for what you're doing. And thanks for spending some time with us on the Scrambled Podcast. When we reconvene in 2 weeks, episode 63, we're going to talk about giving the gift of something just before Christmas, and we're giving the gift of self-esteem, how important that is to building a child's attitude and their look on life and what good self-esteem does for their confidence. As always, we thank you for listening. We thank you for sharing this, following us on Facebook, giving us some five-star reviews, writing some five-star ratings, rather, instead of writing some nice reviews. Our whole goal in starting this podcast was to start a conversation, and that conversation continues with you.